All right, how are we doing this morning? Good, good. If you have your Bibles, grab those. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 is where we'll start out here in a few minutes. Got a bunch of different scriptures this morning to kind of lay before you to look at and to just show you and just where we'll be this morning and what's on our heart here at New Life. And so before we do that, I want to kind of enter back into just a time of prayer. I don't know how familiar you are with the community, but a tragedy this week in the life of this community with a young man whose life has been taken. And so got some good friends at Bowling Springs First, and so that's where that family is at. That's the church, their church home and family there. And so again, just know those guys. Zach Williams, student pastor there, man, just a godly man who loves hard, ferociously Jesus and children. And then Hank, the lead pastor there, those guys, just godly men, and the rest of the staff there. I know Dave, David Pizer is over there, just a vital part of that church as well. And just, I want us to just pray this morning. Gosh, what it would be like there this morning, the heartache, the hurt. And I want this to be hopefully woven within this morning, what we're going to look at and talk about. One of those things that we as a church, as a family, would do everything that we could to just really love each other well, walk with each other. And I feel like as awful as this week has been for that church and those families there, the church has got to be put on display as the church. And it's not about a name on a building. It's not about how big a congregation can be or how large a sanctuary we have or don't have. It's about Jesus Christ being made known. It's about walking with him. It's about caring for one another, loving each other. And when I read the scriptures, the way that I see it is that when one of us hurt, we all hurt. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the ones in this room or the ones that say, hey, I'm from this church or that church. But when the body is hurting, we're all hurting. And so I just want to ask you this morning, if you just join me one more time. I mean, I don't think we can pray too much in a service. I don't remember having that class in seminary. So I just want to ask you to join me this morning and just pray for that family that lost their, I believe, 16-year-old son this week, and for that church, and just for those staff members there. One of the little boys that played on the flag football team, his dad is on staff there as a counselor, and just talking to his wife this week, man, the hours that he's been pulling and pushing and just having conversations and just trying to counsel people. So I know it's a little heavy right out of the gate, but I just want to ask you if you'd join me as we just pray for a few minutes for that family, for that church, for those men there, and then we'll get into where God's going to lead us this morning. But join me as we pray. Father, I just don't want this to be just a moment where I pray. I want us as the church to cry out and ask you to just put your hands upon that family, this community, that church, Father, that you would, God, your grace and mercy would be made known. And Father, we know all the cute little Bible verses and what they say and how they should bring encouragement. And Father, we are going to lean in on that. But God, I pray that it would be rooted in who you are. And Father, even in tragedy, God, somehow, some way, you shine through. Somehow, some way, in this life being lost, life would be found. That others would speak up with struggles, that others would share, that help would be found. And Father, that you would be made Lord of lives. And so God, that's what I want to pray this morning. And God, for that family who wakes up now without their boy, God, that your peace and comfort, as crazy as that sounds right now in the midst of this, would be made known. That your arms would wrap around them and love on them and hold them so close and tight together. And Father God, for those men, I know that there's more staff there that I don't know, but for those men that I mentioned this morning, I think of Hank, I think of Zach, I think of Mr. Cook. See, God, I just pray for Dave. God, I pray for those men who are on the front lines day in and day out, fighting the good fight. God, that through this, Lord, that you would strengthen them, Father, that you would help them find rest in you, Father, that these long nights and difficult conversations, God, that you would shine through and you would just work through them to be just agents of the gospel. And so, God, may they know that they're not alone, Father, that the prayers of this congregation, we're not in competition. They're family just down the road. And the prayers of this place this morning, God, may it encourage and may it strengthen them. God, may you use it in a way, Father, the prayers of your people this morning being poured out. Father, that you would hear the cries and that you would be everything that they need. And Father, I just want to pray, God, just for this congregation here this morning, those that belong to this church as covenant members and those maybe who don't, Father, that they would know that this is a place that they can come and that they can ask the difficult questions, that they are welcome here with their struggles, that they are welcome here with their doubts, they are welcome here with their difficulties, Father. Father, this would be a place where hope could be found, Father, where they wouldn't sit and suffer in silence the difficult days that are before them or the toughness that this world throws at them, Father, but that they would feel safe, they would feel at home, and that they would feel able to speak out and speak up. And so, God, I pray that over our students right now, God, that you would, God, please, just please, God, that you would work and move in their life. And God, that you would help us to be aware, help us to be so tightly connected and loving and caring for one another that those type of conversations are not taboo, but they're conversations that could be had. And so, Father, we press in knowing that we desperately, desperately need you every moment of every day in every circumstance and situation. You are where our hope is found. So please, this morning, work and move in this place. Please work and move in Bowling Springs First and all the churches around here, God, that your gospel message would go out and lives would be forever changed. And Father, where there seems to be hopelessness, that you would show them hope. Where there's desperation, Father, that you would step in and feel that. May they feel it and see it. Jesus, we love you. We need you so much. And we pray. Amen. Oh, goodness. Just continue to pray for them and those families in that church, that leadership over there, that God would just work and move. Last week, Jacob preached here and, man, did a phenomenal job. And after service, we came together and said, hey, we believe that God is leading him here to be our family pastor. And so this morning, he is actually back at the church where he had served as lay leadership today. And they're just doing a little pray out, send out for him. So be praying for them. They'll be here tonight for the trunk or treat. So excited just to have him here and around. He was here this week. So over the last few months, getting to know him and walk with him has been just refreshing and good. The conversations of ministry and his heart and getting to see that lived out. So this morning, this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at one of our core values, another one of our core values. And the core value that we're going to look at this morning is this thought of connect. A few weeks ago, we talked about share and how the core value of share, taking the gospel, making the gospel known in our world, is just one of the driving forces of who we are as the people of God. We are people who want to tell of the blessed hope that we have, that we've experienced, that we know to be true through Jesus. And so these core values help lead us and kind of guide us even in our vision and mission, who we are. It helps us accomplish and live out. And so share is the first one we talked about. And so this week, the one we're going to talk about is being connected. And how important it is to be connected. And so connected just means to attach, to join, to be a part of. And for us, we want to be a place where people are connected, where you don't just come and you don't just sit in a seat, but we want to get to know you. We want you to get to know us. We want to spend time together. We want to create environments where you can attach yourself in places and in ministries and with people, and you can get to know each other and grow and walk together, and where relationship is had, where true, deep, Bible-honoring, gospel-honoring relationship is found. And so this week, as I was thinking about this whole thought of being connected, it's so important to be connected, is it not? Like, so important to be connected. And things don't work unless they're connected, or things don't work like they should. And so I've got this awesome little lamp light right here. And so the thing about this is it's a nice little light bulb, Edison bulb. I'm a fan. Any fans of Edison bulbs? I am. Love a good Edison bulb. But the problem is this: if it's not connected to the source that brings its power, it won't work, right? I mean, so we can, all day long, nothing. So it can't fully do and be what it was created to do and be, can it? But the moment that you plug this thing into a power source, I know who the bass player was this morning over there. I'm just joking, right? But I plugged it in. But is it fully plugged in? Is it full? It's plugged in. It's there. But the problem is this: if it's not plugged in at the right place, if it's not fully plugged in, if it's not all in the power like it needs to, where its source comes from, then what? It still won't function. It still won't work, will it? But the moment you do, you've got it. See, my fear is that for us as the church, that's what happens. We kind of get in a little bit, and we may get plugged in somewhat, and we may plug into to this part. But the thing is, if it's not plugged into the source, if it's not fully in, all the way vested and in, then it still doesn't do and be what it was made to be and do. And so for us as a church, I want us so bad, so desperately to be fully connected, to be in this place, to know people, for people to know you, to walk with people deeply, intimately. Man, for people to share struggles, for people to share and celebrate the things that God does and accomplishes in and through you. I want this to be the picture of who we are as a people. I want these to be the environments that we create where you can go all in, be fully vested and in, to give your life away, to find hope, to find encouragement through relationship with each other, who push you closer to Jesus. Because we're more useful, we're stronger, we're more capable when we're connected and plugged in. We can do and be all that God's created us to do and be when we're connected the way that He would outline and show us in His Word. So let's do that. Matthew 22:36. I want to kind of lay some groundwork, and then we'll look at three areas this morning of where our hope and prayer is that you're connected. So Matthew 22:36, a little backstory here. Jesus is asked the question, what is the greatest commandment in all the law? What's the greatest commandment in all the law? Sounds like a good question. It's a great question. The problem is the question was asked from a wrong motive, a wrong heart. So see, in the backstory here, the religious people of the day, they want to disprove Jesus. Jesus has come in and He's cramping their style. He's living in a way. He's talking in a way. He's calling out their hypocrisy, and they're tired of it. And so what they want to do is they want to try to corner Him. They want to try to disprove Him. They want to silence Him is what they want to do. And so they thought they've asked a good question here and catching Him in some inconsistencies. But Jesus responds, and this is what He says in Matthew 22:37. It says this: Jesus replied. He says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So Jesus says, hey, the first and greatest commandment is to love God with everything in you. Love God with everything in you. And this word love here is a word that's lost in our day. It's a word that's kind of muddied up. It's a word that we use all the time that means everything. So then there really, it means nothing. But in the original language here, this word love is the goodwill and the benevolence to someone. You show that by way of self-sacrifice through an unconditional commitment. I'm all in regardless. Unconditional commitment, fully vested, fully in, self-sacrificing. See, this type of love is steadfast, always sacrifices for the betterment of the other, regardless of what comes back in return. That's the kind of love that Jesus says here, fully in, fully vested, self-sacrificing, regardless of what I get in return. Jesus says that's the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God, everything in you, fully in. And see, our world doesn't define love that way, does it? Our world defines love in a way that is, what can I get out of it? More me-based. What can you do for me? How can I benefit from? And then it's like when that's over and that's done and you can no longer do for me what I want or what makes me feel good, well, then I'm just done and I move on. Hence the reason why so many marriages fail. Hence the reason why so many relationships fall apart. What can I get out of this? What do you bring to the table? How can I benefit from? And that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying all in regardless. That's what your love for him should look like. That's what your self-sacrifice for him should be like. Unconditional commitment. It doesn't matter what I've got going on today. It doesn't matter what's pressing me for tomorrow. It doesn't matter what's down the road. I'm fully vested. I'm fully in. I'm sacrificing myself in this unconditional commitment to him, regardless of what I think or I feel in the moment. That's what Jesus is talking about here with everything that's in us, everything that we are, to be at that place of self-sacrifice and commitment to Jesus regardless. And then he goes on in verse 38 and he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. He says, the second's like it. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so what he says here is that this love for your neighbor should look very much so like the love that you were talking about for God here. It should be like that same word that he uses in both places for him and for your neighbor. And it brings with it, like I said, that thought of self-sacrifice, that thought of being fully in, that thought of it doesn't matter what you can do for me. I'm not in this to get something out of it. I'm in this to bring to the table who I am, what I've got. And I'm fully in. I'm fully vested. I'm committed to you. That's the picture that Jesus paints here. That's what he's saying. And the reality is this, I've never really noticed this until just here recently, and it just kind of hit me as I was studying this week, but he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This little tag at the very end, as yourself. Because what I know about me, nobody loves me like I love me. Nobody sacrifices for me like I sacrifice for me. Nobody is more committed to me the way that I'm committed to me. Nobody. And so as I read that, as I looked at it, it's like we should be really, really good at this. But like we as his followers, as his people, because when we were lost, who were we following after and who were we chasing? Who are we living for? Who do we always put out front for the benefit? It was us. Even sometimes as believers we do that, do we not? I mean, we struggle to sacrifice. We struggle to go full in. We struggle to deny self and go after Jesus. And so we should be really, really good, especially at the second part. Because we know how to love us. And what Jesus says is that that's the kind of love, commitment, sacrifice that we should have for other people. I mean, this is one of our fallen, unredeemed tendencies, to really, really love us, to really, really care about us, to really, really watch out for us, what's best. And Jesus says we need to take that energy, we need to take that effort, and we need to put it on someone else. First and foremost, him, and then others. So to love him, we're to love our neighbor the way that we love us. And so our desire, our prayer, our hope is that through this, looking at this, this core value of connect, will connect in two ways. We'll connect in two ways. One, we'll connect with God, and one, we'll connect with others. One, we will walk relationally in a love relationship with God, and we will walk relationally in a love relationship with others that's self-sacrificial, that moves me to the side for the betterment of someone else. So this is what I want to do. I want to walk through some ways right here for the rest of the morning and just look at how we connect with God and how we connect with others. So Hebrews 10:23 is a place we're going to go here in the scriptures. And so the first way that we connect with God and with others is through corporate worship. Corporate worship. What I mean is this, is coming together as the body to celebrate all that Jesus is, to celebrate all that Jesus has done, to celebrate what he's accomplished by way of the cross, what he is doing in your life, my life, in this world, to celebrate and to lift high and to make much of. See, the definition of worship is to gladly reflect back to God how much you value him and how much he's worth. So as we gather in this room this morning, what we're doing the whole time through singing, through giving, through being here, through conversations, through prayer, through listening to the gospel proclaimed, what we're doing is we're going to reflect back to God how much we love him and value him, how much we care for him, how much we lift high and how much we, what kind of esteem he has in our life and in our heart. So the corporate worship is us gathering together to sing to pray to rely on, to lean in on, to be desperate for our Savior. And so look at Hebrews 10:23. This is what the author of Hebrews says. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. See the connectedness to God there? Let us hold fast to the confession. We've confessed who? Christ. Jesus. We've confessed God. Let us hold fast to that confession of our hope. That's the only place that our hope is found, churches, is in Jesus. He says, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. See the connectedness to God there? And so what this gathering does, this corporate worship gathering, what it does is it reminds us. It reminds us where our hope is found. As we come and as we sing, as we come and as we hear the proclamation of the word, as we come and we have conversations before and after, as we gather in this room knowing story after story after, think about it for a second. That family shows up at church again. That family shows up at church with their boy that is gone. What does that do? What does that do to the faith family? They made it. They're here. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, this God thing, there's got to be something to it. Has to. I mean, how do you bounce back from that? How do you make it through a night like that? You talk about dark night of the soul. I mean, I don't know much worse out there. I mean, how in the world they show up? What is that? That's an encouragement to the body. What about you? You being here this morning, people that know you, know the struggle, know the difficult days that have just wailed on you. And you come here to do what? To worship Jesus. What does that do? That's where your hope is. What does that do? That encourages us. That makes us stronger. I mean, your story is not just your story. You're part of the family. Your story is our story. It's your story we get strength from. That's what he's saying here. That's what happens when we come together. It reminds us where our hope is found. The songs that we sing, the scriptures that point to his blessed hope. It helps us reorient our lives. It helps us focus back in on who Jesus is and what he's accomplished by way of the cross. I mean, this week is quick, isn't it? And it's quick to just beat you up and to wear you out and to draw your attention away from where your hope is truly found. I mean, the day and the age that we're living in wants you to put your hope everywhere else. Wants you to turn your eyes to everything else other than Jesus, to push to the forefront things that are not of the utmost importance. So gathering here this morning, hearing the word of God proclaimed, hearing the songs that we sing, helps reorient our lives back to around what's most important, that hope that we've claimed, the confession that we've made of that. And then in verse 24, he says this, he says, let us consider how to stir up one another. See the other there? See, we were reminded of the hope that we have and the confession that we've made of who Jesus is. And then here's the other, the connectedness to others. How to stir up one another to love and good works. Now, we know how to stir people up, don't we? And we've got some avenues now, but we can really stir if we want to stir. And it is super easy to stir. My fear is that we don't stir up like this. The connected part that we need to be living out and walking is to stir up one another, what? To love and good works. Love like what we just talked about. I mean, that I'm committed to and that I'm in, that I'm walking with, that I love and that I'm for. What? And then I'm going to stir you for good works. Man, how can I urge you or how can I stir you in a way? But man, that's what you did last week. You think you can do that again this week? Man, you gave of yourself like that in that moment. You think you can do that again? Or, oh my gosh, let me tell you what you did, what that did to me. To encourage someone else, stir them up for what? Good works. I mean, it's easy to stir them up for other things. And we're really, really good at that. But what if we were really, really good at this? What if we lived this way, so connected to one another that, man, you just knew. Like we've started this new thing. Ethan, we started this new thing on Sunday morning after they kind of run through the service and things like that. We all circle up and we pray. And then what we do is we all put our hand in. And Ethan, how does it go? He says, well, I say worship, you say that. And then we like just blare it. And then the second part is, when I say worship, you say loud, and then we do that. We do that three times. And then after that, we go, go Jesus. And we're like, hands go up. We're put the paint on, ready to do this thing. I mean, as I read that, that's what it should be like. I mean, there should be people in your life. You know, like, I've got people in my life that when I spend time with them, I'm ready. Let's take on hell with a water pistol, dude. Like, I'm in. Like, I don't even need, like, a full tank. Let's go. Like, Super Soaker, don't give me that. Just give me, like, the little water pistol from, like, the dollar store that don't have shoot. I mean, that's how confident I am because of what they've done in my life and how they've pressed me and how they've encouraged me and how they've stirred me. Just being around them and having conversation and being reminded of who Jesus is and how great he is. I love that here. I mean, that's what we should be doing as the body, as the church. Encouraging one another in such a way, stirring up, agitating in such a way that propels us to do things for the glory of God. And then verse 25 here says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so we need to be about the gathering. We need to be about coming together to be here and to be reminded of, to worship Jesus with each other, to stir up one another. My hope is that this amps you up every week. My hope is that this is a shot to get you through to Monday, to get you going, to get you ready to go to work, to get you ready to go out in the community, to get you ready to go to lunch, to get you ready to help raise your kids, to get you ready to go and lead in the areas and the places that you live. Man, I want to agitate the mess out of y'all. And I do a really good job at some of you. I know that. And I'm working on that and kind of putting it in a better way. But no, I do. Man, like I want this to stir you in such a way as that you run out, that you're stimulated, that you're enticed to do something for the glory of God. I want you to have relationship with people. That's what happens. They just rub you in such a way that you just like I can remember my mentor. When you were around him, it's like Jesus, like I wanted some of it on me. You know? Maybe not. That's weird. But like it was just coming out of him. It wasn't fake, it wasn't forced. It was he loved Jesus that much, and when you were around him, you felt that you saw it. And when you walked away, you were ready. You were ready. That's what I want to happen here. I want us to be connected like that. I want us to be connected in that way. Living that way. Corporate worship. Together as the body. Now, the second way that we're connected with God and others, the second way that we can do this, and we've talked a lot in length here lately about this, and so I'm just going to kind of touch on it, and then we'll kind of continue to walk. But in Genesis 2:18 is where we'll see a scripture that's going to kind of help prove or push to the fact that we need each other and we need relationships. But the second way that we're connected to God and others is through being discipled and discipling. Through being discipled and discipling, and how relationship is the way that we do that, the way that we accomplish that. In the Great Commission, you see that. You see that call to go out and make disciples. Well, the way you make disciples is through relationship, through walking with people, through knowing people, through caring for people. So here in the garden, you have God who's created and who is made. You've got Adam and all the animals and the things there. And then God says this. He says, it is not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make him a helper fit for him. What we know in the scriptures, he's not alone. He's got animals and he's got God. But there wasn't a helper fit for him in those, in the animals and the creative order. And so what God does is he creates and he makes. And I believe what that does is it just pushes us to the fact that we need people in our life, that we were not called to go at this alone. We were not called to battle by ourselves, that we need to be connected to other people. I mean, how do we live out what we just read over in Hebrews? We're to stir one another up. The way you do that is through relationship and walking with people. And that's what we see God pointing to here. People in our life to journey with. People to help. People to do and encourage and press us. Hold us accountable. To pray for us. To teach us. To discipline us. A number of things that we see in the scriptures that's going to push us to maturity in Jesus. We do that through relationships. We need relationships. I mean, what did COVID show us? I mean, cooped up in the house is not good and healthy. Being secluded from other people is not good and healthy. That we need interaction. We need relationship. We need to walk with. We need to know and be known. And so the structure of this here at New Life with discipleship and being discipled is in three forms and three ways. Is through life groups. Through life groups, where it's a regular, reoccurring gathering of believers around the Word of God. But it doesn't just stop there. It happens outside of the walls of that meeting time, of that gathering time. But it happens out when your group, y'all go out for lunch, when you go out to serve, when you go out to do stuff, when you go to the game, when you do things with your kids, when you decide to take a weekend with your group and go somewhere. All of those things is an opportunity to go deeper and to grow relationally with each other and with the Lord. So it happens through life groups. It happens through one-on-one. There's people here that just do discipling one-on-one, mentorship one-on-one. Where they meet weekly with someone and they walk with and they press and they encourage and they pray for and they hold accountable and they do all of those things to see that person grow in their relationship with Christ and with them. Or it could be one on a few, one and two to three other people that they're raising up, that they're walking with, that they're walking relationally, that they're stirring up, pressing to Jesus. See, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, that's what it says. You can't do it without relationship. You can't live this out, this command that Jesus gives to go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then look, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You've got to be connected with people. You've got to know people. How can you help disciple? How can you help get them further along in their relationship with Jesus if you're not spending time with them and you don't know them? I can't help you get to where you need to be if I don't know where you're at. And the way that happens is through relationship. It's through conversation. It's through being vulnerable. It's through laying yourself out there, being willing to open up to and share. And so it's being connected with others there in that way. Teaching them part, the walking with, letting them pour into, knowing each other and growing more deeply. And then the third way that we connect with God and with others is through serving. It's through serving. And I want to say this for a second. First and foremost, when we serve for the Lord, period. Everywhere we go, anything we do, everything that we do is for the glory of God. That should be the motivation and the heart behind. So I can remember for me, whenever I first started in student ministry, we didn't have a youth room. We had a fellowship hall. And in that fellowship hall, we had to take up and we had to put down tables. And Wednesday night was our large gathering time for our students. And so I can remember that, like, dang, these people just will not be quiet and quit talking. Like, I'm about relationship, but I'm not about relationship right now. And so I was like, oh, well, they hurry up. And so then after they get done, then we put up the tables and we put them up. And they're like, then there's food everywhere. And then you got to vacuum and you've got to clean. And it wasn't until years later that God just kind of pressed my heart. I was like, dude, what are you doing? There's people that don't even have a building. I mean, who do you think you are? You think you deserve a youth room? You think you should have? You're not even grateful for what you got. And I'm like, dang, I don't know how God talks to you, but that's just how he does me. And so just kind of wore me out in that moment. And so after that church, I go to another church. And you know what they don't have? They don't have a youth room. You know what they have? They have a gym. And they have tables and they have that mess there. And you know what? I learned to appreciate that a little bit more. I learned through that time what God was doing in me, shaping me and molding me and saying, hey, Scott, this is for me, not you. And when you take, do you know what? I learned to be the most grateful table taker upper ever. If that even makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, what a privilege it is to pick up chairs and put them in a rack. What a privilege it is to sweep and to vacuum up the mess of somebody else. We've got people that makes messes. This is great. There's some churches that don't even have people. You know what I'm saying? It's learning to see through the eyes of God that I get to do and serve somebody else. And I'm not doing it for recognition. I'm doing it for the name of God because he's allowed me and he's given me the ability to roll a dang table. I mean, I'm a quick roller. If you want to race later, we can do that. Maybe at the Fall Festival thing. But table rolling is a good game. Think about that. We can see what we need to do to get signed off on some insurance stuff. But you know what I'm saying? Man, the fact that we get to, so it's always for the Lord, the Lord first and foremost. Always. And so I'm going to look at serving for just a second, kind of in two facets. One within the house of God, within the church. And so let's chat. Let's look. 1 Peter 4:8. This is what it says. It says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. And I just love that. But no matter what, this serving, this heart should be out of love for Jesus and this love for, see how it all just ties together there with Matthew? Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. He says this, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Dang, church. Be nice to each other and hospitable to one another without grumbling. I'm just going to let that sit for a second and make sure we kind of just like soak that in for a second. Yeah, because I'll love you sometimes, but it'll be followed with a bless your heart. And you know what that means in church world, right? That's grumbling. That's grumbling. So show hospitality without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Oh, that's good right there. You're sitting in this place this morning and you're a believer in Jesus. God has gifted you with a gift to help the body be all that it can be, to help his church here accomplish his desires and his will for her. Have you ever thought of it like this? Maybe the reason why we're not further along is because maybe you haven't launched out to be what God's called you to be, and you're not using the gift that God has gifted you with to be what the need is here in this place for this day. Have you ever thought of it like that? See, I think so often we just kind of project it, well, somebody else will get it or somebody else will do it. No, he's created you and made you to do it. He's gifted you that way. Like I joked last week about Jacob and about how like he's not like me, and that's a good thing. That's a great thing. He's not wired like me. He doesn't think like me. He is much more organized, much more type A, much more put together in some things. I mean, I've got the prettiness, but he's got some other stuff. Now that that's been settled, I think there's a letter that needs to be sent home to a parent. But anyways, but that's what God does to complete us, to help us accomplish and be all that he's created and made us, to serve one another, he says there, as good stewards of God's varied grace. And then look in 11, he says, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves, how? By the strength that God supplies. Man, I love that. God is the one that's going to give you the strength to be able to do what he needs you to do in that moment. He is the one that gave me the strength to put up those daggum tables for 5 years and to roll them. And it was finally when I got to the place that I realized what I got to do, was able to do. Man, there was joy in that. There was joy in that. See, in serving the saints flows from our strength and joy from God, from him, through him, with him. And then look at 11 as it continues, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the heart of doing it. That's why we do what we do. That's the motive behind serving the people of God. That's why, see, love for God's name means looking to God for sanctification that can be shared with the saints in the act of service. Man, how can I give away what God's done for me? How can I serve you? How can I help life be easier for you? What can I do to help you get further ahead? And so this should be the driving force behind everything that we do. How can I put on display? How can me serving point to how great our God is? I just want to talk for a second about serving inside the walls of the church. Because I'm just a firm believer that everyone that walks through these doors week in and week out are not believers. Don't know Jesus personally in that way, as him Lord of their life, then being born again. And so by us getting to serve in different areas of this church on a Sunday morning, what it does is it creates an environment where people can come and they can hear the proclamation of God's word. Or they can come and they can worship and they can connect with God. They can see how great and big and awesome and mighty God is. And so what it does is it allows an environment where people can come and they can hear the word of God. And so by serving and giving your life away, what you're doing is you're allowing someone to sit in a service. You're allowing a service to be projected out into this world. You're allowing so much by giving your life away and helping create an environment where people can connect with God, where people can hear and grow and see what the church is like. Second point I would make is this, is the ones that you get to serve, the ones that you get to do it for. Man, the ones that you get to serve and pour your life out for. So when I talk about inside the walls of the church, of course, that corporate gathering this morning, right? This is one of the biggest areas and needs and times of serving is on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Like we have a need for 4 to 5 people who help allow this service to go and be had. They told me not to do it, but the guy sitting back there in the booth, don't look, do not look. Oh, you looked. Don't do that to them. No, I'm just joking. And do you know what? This is the crazy thing. There are people who come to church to sit in a room to watch church. Well, so that people out there can watch church and see church and be able to worship. People who are sick, people who are gone out of town, people who have things going on and can't make it here physically. To come to a church and sit in a room and watch church and help church be had out there. I mean, love that heart. Love that willingness. A welcome team. So when you drive onto campus and the moment you walk through the doors, do you know, and I'm probably going to mess this up, but do you know that they say within like the first 3 minutes of somebody coming onto your campus and walking through your doors, they've already made up their mind whether or not they'll be back? I mean, we want people to be there to love them in a way to make them feel welcomed. I mean, like not this fake stuff, but I mean like real genuine care and love for. Man, hey, how are you doing? How's your week? Glad you're here. Man, how's the kids? How's things? Man, you got everything. Do you know we have this going on? We got that. Oh, you need to help me. Let me help you find where the kids go. Let me introduce you. I mean just a welcoming, warm, inviting place. 6 to 8 to do that. Ushers, we need about 5 to help find seats, to help take up offering, to do a number of other little things in the morning before service gets started and going, little things that pop up. We have about 6 to 8 people who lead worship here on Sunday mornings that we need. I mean, this is just one Sunday. We average around 45 to 60 kids birth through fourth grade, which puts a need for us having 14 to 16 volunteers for children. 14 to 16 volunteers for children. I mean, that's big. That's big, but let me tell you something. I believe that I am where I'm at today because of a lady named Cindy Rader. Cindy Rader is the person that put up with the biggest, baddest, meanest little boy in Russellville, West Virginia. And she is the one that would hand me Play-Doh. I could not wait for Play-Doh time in Sunday school in that little 20-person church. And she would hand me the Play-Doh after Scotty Miller. It was Scotty Miller to her. And it was usually because I was in trouble. And so she would use the Scotty part. And so, Scotty, you listen, then you have Play-Doh. And she would sit there and taunt me with it, like just to make sure I would behave. And yes, she loved me enough not to give it to me sometimes. And so I believe that I'm where I'm at today because of a Cindy Rader who poured into me week in and week out, who loved me and cared for me, and who served a little church of 20, of just sharing the gospel with, of just caring for, of handing me a dang thing of Play-Doh to play with and make after I heard the crazy stories of Jesus. I just believe that. And so I think of where we're at as a church and what we've got going on, not to mention our youth, not to mention our college kids, not to mention the adult need here. I mean, men's group, women's group. I mean, we've got so many different areas and places that you can serve. I mean, we've got a trunk or treat thing going on tonight. We've got a bazaar coming up next weekend where, listen to this, like the heart of that ministry is what? To give that money back to missions. I mean, they have killed themselves over the last year, making and doing, creating and sowing and all this, to do what? So that they can try to raise some funds to give back, to sow back into the kingdom. I mean, it just blows my mind that that's the heart. I love that heart. And so just as I look at this, as I think about this, this is the selfish part for a second. I'm just going to talk selfishly for just a moment because what I've learned and what I've seen and what I've come to understand as a pastor is that if anybody in this room has to worry about their boys loving Jesus and following Jesus, it's going to be me. It's going to be me because statistically speaking, the ones that are harder or hardest to reach are the pastor's kids because they see the struggles. They hear the little stories. They see how the inconsistencies in me, inconsistencies in this place, everywhere. Who's the most critical? It's going to be the pastor's kids. I know that they're the meanest. Your brother's not you. But statistically speaking, the chances of them being saved and loving the Lord and walking in the Lord and serving in the church and living out what I'm talking about, drops greatly. Like I've got watch this video for a second. I want to show you why. So I'm big here, and I'm going to beat this drum and bang this drum, and I'm in desperate need because I know what's at stake. So watch this video for just a second.
Yes, you read your book. I'm going to hear you.
So he's reading. 3 years old, and he's reading. That's what the CDC does. Just a little plug there.
Jesus made the cats. Jesus made the doggies. Jesus made the cows. Jesus made the pigs.
Huh. Is that what that book says?
It's about
animals. About the animals? Who made them?
Jesus did.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
That's some backwards.
So yeah, we're going to be intentional with loving our boys and raising them up and showing them how great God is. But I need people to come alongside. I need people to do that. And so he's 3 years old and he's reading on a fifth grade level. It's awesome. No. Again, like I said, cheap plug for the CDC, right? If you got kids, you need to get them here. They can. No, I'm just joking. He does read better than Dad, but. We're just sitting there, and he just grabs that book, and out of nowhere, he just starts saying that. Jesus made the, and right now, every time we drive by a church, he's like, oh, that's a Jesus church. That's a Jesus church. Or he sees a cross, oh, that's Jesus' church. That's Jesus' cross. And yeah, we have conversations. Yeah, we say things. Yeah, we try to instill within them. But what I know is that there's other people in their life that's doing the same thing. Like right now, for the last hour, He's been loved on. He's heard the name of Jesus. It's been talked about. They've prayed for them. They've prayed with them. I mean, all that pouring in. Like, I need you. I need you to give your life away in service like that. I need you to care for our kids in that way. Not just mine, but everybody else that's sitting in here. Knowing what this world's trying to do and what this world's going to do against them. And that we have the privilege and honor to do that. We get to do it for the Lord. I mean, when those kids are saved, I want you to be a part of seeing them baptized. I want you to be a part. I mean, you play a monumental role. You get to be the Cindy Raiders in somebody else's life. The Play-Doh players and the lovers of Jesus for them to see and hear and experience. So that's inside the church. Inside the church. Now I want to talk for a second about outside the church as we wind down. I promise that really mean that. I want to talk about outside the church for just a second. And our heart and our direction here at New Life is this, Acts 1:8, where it says this, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He says, you'll be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and he says, to the ends of the earth. That's what he's saying here. He says, to be my witness, to tell of what you've seen and experienced and know to be true, to serve and give your life away in that way. In that way, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. I love the levels as they go out to be nationwide, to reach the nations. And that's our heart. That's what we want to do. We don't want you to just serve here and give your life away here in this place. We want you to take it and do it out there as well, to serve and to care for and to help in areas and places where they so desperately need it. See, John 20:21 says this, Jesus is ready to leave and go back to his Father. In heaven, he says this. He says, peace be with you as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Jesus sends his disciples out. He says, all right, now go do it. Go live it out. Go be it. And that's my heart and my hope for us here. It's for us to live out the mission of Jesus in our world and our day. That we would be the hands and feet of Jesus. I think of Romans 10:14 and 15, where it says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Man, I sat in a room Tuesday night of men. And there was a gentleman from Montana, a Native American from Montana named Bruce, who sat there and pleaded with people to come and help him accomplish getting the gospel to his people. Some of the most lost people on the planet are the Native Americans in this world, the Indians in this world, in the USA, that have no desire, no want, no care for you. They believe in a God. don't need another one. And he is heartbroken. He is heartbroken over that. And so he would plead with us. His life's calling is to take the gospel to his people. I mean, church, that should be us, to go and serve. And so I heard him talking. There's going to be an opportunity to go to Montana. To go to Montana this summer. They're talking about putting together a trip. And so whenever that comes down the pipe, we'll let you know. Maybe we can get us a group up to go. I don't know what that'll look like or what that'll mean. But man, that we get outside these walls and we do it in our Jerusalem, our Judea. My prayer, my desire is today that we get to help plant a church in another country where the gospel can be taken to the nations, to the world. And so as the band comes back up, I don't know how God stirred this morning in your heart. I don't know what he said or what he's done or what he's convicted of or what he's encouraged you of, but are you loving God with everything in you? Are you loving people with everything in you? The way that you love yourself and care for yourself. Because my prayer, my hope for you is that you'll be connected in that way. You'll be connected with God and you'll be connected with others. That you will come ready to worship in this place. That you'll come ready to reflect back to God and to celebrate who he is and all that he's accomplished and done. That you'll come ready to give your life away in service. Inside the walls, outside the walls. That you'll come ready to grow and mature. Under somebody, in a group, one-on-one, however that looks, whatever that means, but that you'll be a part of that. So I don't know what God's stirred in your heart, but what I know is that I've got Bill right here. Bill, I've got you a clipboard right there. And Bill's going to be right here. He's going to be down front. Bill, I talked to this week, and he said, man, he would be interested in helping lead up or head up some mission opportunities for us in our community, around the area, things like that. Bill's just a guy that's got a mission or a heart for missions, a heart to get outside the walls of the church and serve. To get out and to share, yeah. To get out and to share and to tell of and to serve and to give his life away. Whatever that looks like, whatever that means. And so what I want to do is, it's so often we'll say, hey, go see this person. He's going to be down here. And maybe if that's your heart and God maybe pricked that this morning, said, you know what, I need to give my life away somehow in service. Outside the walls of this church. Bill's your guy. Take your email, take your phone number. He'll get that. He'll as we plan, as we prepare, maybe God will raise you up to be a part of that leadership team. But Bill will be there, and then I've got Mr. Frank. Mr. Frank is right here. He's going to come stand over here. What Frank's going to do is simply this. I know Blake did this a couple weeks ago, but that if we want to get you connected in groups. We want to get you connected one-on-one. We want to get you connected as we start to press toward rolling out more groups, as we start to press toward some of those type of things. Mr. Frank's going to be down here, and he would love to connect with you. Phone number, email, those type of stuff, so we can reach out when we have groups. We've got groups that we can plug you into, put you in. Maybe God's raising you up to lead a group. We're going to have a training coming up soon where we walk through that and what that looks like and what that means. And then I've got Summer and Hannah right here. The greatest need for us on a Sunday morning is to teach kids to read how Jesus made the fish. Jesus made the pigs. Jesus made the... From holding a little baby and rocking it and praying over it to open up the Word of God and just reading a children's story to going in the back and watching those kids jump around and worship Jesus and have a lesson and just be loved on and cared for. But right there, those two, to volunteer in any capacity, whether it's children, whether it's welcome, whether it's whatever capacity you see here, to come in to do that. So I don't know what God's pressed on your heart, but I want to know this. I want to make it right in front of you this morning to give you opportunity to be a part of, to get connected and be in with who we are and what we got going on and what we're doing. So would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you. We just ask Jesus that you would work and that you would move in mighty, mighty ways here. Father, I pray that you would stir us up. God, I pray that this would stir us up, Father. The word that you've put on my heart to share this morning wouldn't just be a bunch of scriptures like, my gosh, we went late, or oh my goodness, look at all those scriptures, but that it would be a moment, Father, where we hear your word and we see how serious you are about things. And Father, we would die to self. Because in following you, he said, it's not about us. And being yours, the claim that we make is that we belong to you and we're going to do whatever it is you want us to do, however, whatever it is you need us to do, Father. We need to take care of our church. We need to take care of the people in the world. We need to take your gospel. And so, Father, I pray that you stir this morning hearts. I pray that people would move. I pray that people would pray. I pray that people would seek and get involved and give their life away through groups, through serving, through worshiping. God, whatever that looks like, whatever that means, you work and move now like only you can. Jesus, we love you.